Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back to Blog Talk Radio. It's Just Paranormal, doing our next to last season or episode for the season rather, and this one is going to be over movie reviews. It's going to be myself and Star Lyles. She should be calling in any second now. She had a little delay with the call-in. Aaron is going to be out for this episode, and then we'll have one more show next week. It's normally on Mondays, and it's normally 6 to 7 Central Standard Time. That will be bumped probably to 7, from 7 to 8 Central Standard Time, but we're working on the guests for that show. And once we know, we'll get that posted. So stay tuned for that and the news on the last one. I'm going to go ahead and start while I'm watching and waiting for her to call in. And I'll get started with the first couple of reviews. Let me tell you, so the way we reviewed these, we based them on, what is it, 6 different factors. So we went off of acting, special effects, believability or immersion into the storyline, the plot, the ending, and the scariness factor. And then, of course, I'm sure going to toss in our tidbit about each one as well. So I'll start with The Curse of La Llorona. And that one, it was set in the 1970s, and it's funny, a couple of these I watched were set way back, which is hard for me. I'm not big into the older movies. But so, you know, so it starts in the 70s, and it's these two kids. It starts out with them being killed. It's really kind of sketchy. It kind of does this flash forward, flash backward, kind of hard to keep up. But it's basically this lady that kills her two kids, and then she's come back and trying to kill two more kids to replace hers and get her kids back. But it's just not believable, so we'll get to that here in a minute. As far as acting, it was pretty good. We rated it on ghosts, 1 through 5 ghosts rather than stars. So I gave it 5 ghosts for acting. The kids were great. The kids were amazing with the acting. There were some scary scenes, like in this car, you know, where something's lurking. And when one of the kids, you know, hears something off in the distance and sneaks off, and then he gets scratched and or burned, rather. It's more of a burn mark. There's Star. Let me pull her in. Hey, Star.
Hey,
are you with us?
How's everybody doing? Yes, I am. You know what I was doing? I was calling Sheila's Rogue Talk Radio. And
well, that doesn't help if you're on the wrong show.
It does not.
You were just on there, though. You were just recently on her show, so that makes sense. I just got started.
Yeah,
I was just going over The Curse of La Llorona, which was a 2019 movie. I don't know if you watched that one.
No, I have not.
So I'll just pop back into that. But I had basically just explained how we went over the our review system with 1 through 5 ghosts. And it's funny because when I filled mine out, I actually have a little ghost stamp from Halloween. So I put little ghost stamps next to each category. It's so cute. So I told them, you know, how we're basing it on acting, special effects, believability,
uh-huh.
or immersion into the storyline, plot, ending, and scariness factor.
Right.
And for this one, it's for those that have just popped in, I'll start back over because I hadn't got far. But it's based off of a lady who I was saying it just doesn't make much sense. But she kills her two kids, and then she kills herself in this water by drowning. And then during the movie, she goes on to try to kill two other kids to replace her kids. But yet, so they're found in a closet. And we'll get down to that when we get down to the plot. But it doesn't make sense because she's trying to kill, she ends up killing two kids that were saved from this locked closet. And then she continues to try kill two more kids. And obviously she's tried to kill before, or those two kids wouldn't be locked in the closet. So I'm like, this whole scenario just doesn't make sense to me. So the plot and the believability factor got a one ghost for me. The acting was pretty good, especially on the part of the kids. And I got the names of the kids. There was a Roman Christian, or Christou. I'm sorry, I'm pronouncing that wrong. It's C-H-R-I-S-T-O-U. and then also an Aiden Lewand, O-W-S-K-I. And they look pretty darn similar, so I'm wondering if they were traded off. You know how sometimes they get kids that are the same and they trade them off like they do twins in roles?
Yeah.
But I don't know for sure, because the main characters, well, there was a boy and a girl that were initially in the closet, and then there was a second boy and girl, and I didn't pay that close attention to their look and how similar they were. And then there was a young girl named Irene Keng, K-E-N-G, and the kids, I think, acted better than the adults. But the adults acted, the acting was great too. Special effects, they had a lot of, you know, shadows, flickering lights, burns. They had some stuff. I went ahead and gave it a 4. It probably should have been a 3 ghost. And then, like I'd mentioned, the believability and the plot, a 1 ghost. And this movie was set in the 70s in California. And I'm not big on 70s movies. I don't know. It's hard for me to. I might be a little biased there.
Well, it takes
there.
A special mind. It takes a special mind to get into a 70s movie,
A special person that was born in the 70s.
It almost takes psychedelic drugs. It almost takes psychedelic drugs to get into those 70s movies.
But they did well with setting up the time period and the vehicles and, made it very believable to that time period, as did another movie that I watched from the 70s. And then the ending, I gave it 4 ghosts because it does come full circle. Because it starts out with her releasing these two kids. She sees them and hears them locked in this closet, and she doesn't know why. And she's like, why are you locking these kids in here? And she thinks they're abused because they have these burn marks in their arms. Little does she know it's for their protection. And supposedly for this temporary period, which I don't understand how locking them in there for this 24-hour period is going to help anything. Another part is that the believability factor. So she releases them. She, takes the key and rips it off this nun's, because it's inside of almost a church, I guess you could say, and rips it off the nun's neck and unlocks it, and the kids are out, and they go and live with her. Well, then this Lola Rona kills those two kids and then goes on to try to kill her kids. But then at the very end, how it comes full circle is she ends up saving her two kids by locking them back in the same closet. So the ending is kind of neat that it kind of works its way back around, but the whole plot and believability is just meh. So the acting and the ending is really the only thing. The scariness factor, I will say, it did make me jump probably a half a dozen times, and I don't jump easy at movies. Like, us, mm-hmm. we're paranormal investigators. We just jump, we sit in the dark all day long and hear everything, and with like the Annabelle movie and Conjuring, none of those scared me at all. My husband at the time was jumpy, and I'm just like, okay. But it did have some moments, but there were also some predictability. So there's a mixture of some unpredictable moments and predictable moments. So that would be my first movie. And then I can hop on to the second one, and then if you've got a couple that you want to go over, and we can just rotate. If you're cool with that.
Okay. I'm cool. I am down with that. So, an overall score for your, what was the name of the movie again? I can't even pronounce it, much less remember it.
Well, you know what? I didn't know how we overall score it then. How do you do an average?
Well, you add all of your ghosties together.
Oh, well, shit.
And you
now
divide it by.
Work.
And divide it by 6.
7, 8. 18 divided by 6. You're going to make me do my math. And
I'm
going to
make
even...
you do your math.
I know, if I'd known that. 3 and 6 is 18, right? So is that only three ghosts? Wow.
Yep.
Okay. So three ghosts
it there
is
you
for
go.
The curse of Lola Rona. So overall, it didn't score high. And that's mainly the believability in the plot, you know? I mean, that plays a huge part in the movie.
It does. Well, and so does the acting and everything else, special effects.
Yeah.
I mean, it all plays a big part. But
yes.
But the scariness factor has got to be pretty good. And I'll be honest with you, on most of these that I did today, it's not real high on the scariness factor because, you know, it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I know.
But
I know that it does get a ding from us on that. So I guess people have to take that into account. If you're not in the paranormal, the fearingness factor may be a little bit more for you. And that's why I mentioned, you know, some of the scary parts and what's occurring. And I didn't give the disclaimer. Obviously, we're going to ruin it if you haven't seen the movie.
Warning now. There's lots of spoilers. Did I lose you? Hello?
We're recognizable on The Curse of La Llorona or the next one, which is Out of the Shadows. And I didn't recognize anybody, so I felt it wasn't worth mentioning. I'm mentioning the kids' names because they were just really extraordinary in their acting and being so young. And it was just a good movie. Besides the two issues there. So Out of the Shadows was a 2017 movie. Didn't realize it was quite that old. this one did not last long with me. Let's just say I didn't watch it all the way through. So acting got one ghost. It was just terrible, terrible bad acting. I don't have anything more to say on that. I mean, it was like you and I just talking to each other. Just like willy-nilly every day. There was just no kind of monotone. You couldn't really feel the feelings, you know? Like the husband was accusing her of being crazy and she wasn't really, she was like, I'm not crazy, but it wasn't convincing. It wasn't like, oh, wow, she's really upset that he's accusing her of being crazy. It didn't do it for me. The acting was bad.
Yeah.
Special effects. The only two special effects that I can recall and that I made notes on were a few shadows. Like there'd be some shadows here, shadows there. The whole thing was just shadows, repetitive shadows and some growling. And that's it the whole time that I watched it anyways. And I felt like, you know, so let me see. So the plot, skipping over to the plot so you kind of have a background, it's this nurse that murdered four babies while she was alive and a nurse. And then she continued in her death to go after babies. And so like this young couple is buying this house and the female's pregnant and then it just goes downhill from there. So it had like great potential. I mean, that could have been a really, really good movie. But you know, like the special effects were terrible. The acting was terrible. The storyline and believability. Now, if they had went a different route with it, it was good. But it was just the entire time was like, oh, let's do some cleansing. Well, first it was she was crazy and, you know, you need to take these psychiatric meds. She's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then she goes to sleep and she has a nightmare, wakes up. Then she goes and sees the doctor again. And then she goes to the church, and then some lady at the church overhears it and is like, you know, this is this nun or whatever. We need to help her. And so she goes to the house and does a cleansing, and then everything's calmed down, and then she's having nightmares again, and there's shadows and growling again. And then they cleanse again, and I'm just like, how many times are we going to cleanse and growl? You know, it just – It was bad.
Oh,
I'm just
funny.
Like, you know, it could have been so much more. Plot, like, they had a good plot line there, but they just tanked it. And the ending, I don't even know because I shut it off after 30 to 45 minutes. It was so bad. I couldn't even take it. I was just like, I can't do this. I don't know if I've ever turned off a movie, but I turned that movie off. I was like, all right, this is going back. And then the scariness factor is not scary unless you're afraid of a few shadows and growling or somebody having a nightmare, which it was bad. So if you take all the 1 stars and there's 0 for the ending, you can't even divide it. So it gets 0 ghosts from me on Out of the Shadows. Like, it's just, I do not recommend that movie to anybody or their dog.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
I know.
That is pretty bad.
I didn't expect that. I had high hopes for that based on that. But, mm-hmm. And then I don't know if you have any you want to hit on, and I've got 3 more lined up behind that.
Yeah, let me go ahead and I'll start with my first one here. And this is one, I will have to say, this is one of my favorite movies of all time. However, it did not score very high overall, and we'll talk about that. But it's Dawn of the Dead, 2004. Mm-hmm. It's rated R.
Uh-huh.
Or you can get the unrated version, which if you want to see more blood and guts and a gratuitous sex scene, then, go for the unrated version. But the reason that I love this movie so much is because I am a zombie freak. Love zombies. I love The Walking Dead. I used to love Fear the Walking Dead. It's gotten really stupid lately, but...
I have to ask you, did you watch the movies?
Yeah.
So many weeks... Oh, gosh, what was it? It's like weeks and days.
I know which one you're talking about. 28 days later, 28 weeks later.
Yes. Yes. Did you watch? So I do not like zombies.
I did.
I do not. But those who do not, uh-huh. I mean, I loved it. I would recommend those to anybody.
Yeah, and that one is actually pretty good. The acting is good. I like the I can't remember his name, but he plays Scarecrow in Batman Dark Knight Rises.
Oh,
or something like
okay.
that. But anyway, he plays the Scarecrow in that one. And he's really good in that one. I think he's a British actor, but I may be wrong. He is a British actor. And then there is that other guy that was in there with him that actually saved him and the girl, the lady, I should say, when they were running away from these rage-infected zombies. See, you got me off on something else because I love zombies so much.
That's okay. We've got time. It's reviewing movies.
It's the dude with
the
beard. It was the dude with the beard, and he had a daughter. And if you guys have seen it, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. He played in Braveheart with Mel Gibson as his best friend. But I just love that movie, those two movies. Those are really, really good movies. But anyway, Dawn of the Dead 2004. Well, it's okay. You can distract me all you want to. I've got a couple of zombie ones on here, actually. Or maybe 3.
That's funny. All zombie.
Well, no, it's not all. It's 2 of them are zombie ones, and then the other 2 are different ones. So, but as far as acting goes, Sarah Pauley was the star of this one, her and Jake Weber. I don't know if you remember Jake Weber, if you ever saw Hell on Wheels. He played the colonel that moved into Cheyenne and tried to take over everything. And, of course, he had to die. But Jake Weber is a very good actor. And I really enjoyed him and Sarah.
Well, he made guest appearances on Law & Order, NYPD Blue.
Yes.
Like you mentioned, Hell on Wheels and Homeland, and Dawn of the Dead, Meet Joe Black. Only one I must have seen him on like Law and Order or something. The name rings a bell, but I haven't really seen any of the other stuff. I'm sad to say.
Yeah. Well, and he is. He's just a good actor. He's a very laid back kind of actor. He's not in your face. He's just very laid back kind of actor. And that's the way he was in Dawn of the Dead. He was just laid back. very easygoing. You see these people and you can almost see the wheels turning in their mind. That's how he is. You can see him thinking, you can almost see the gears in there. But he and Sarah Pauley really had good chemistry on this movie together. I gave them both 4 stars as far as acting, or 4 ghosts as far as acting goes. Ving Rhames, he's okay in this movie. I've seen him in other movies where he's actually worse. But now, Ving Rhames, I love him in Mission Impossible. When he plays, I can't even remember, what is his name, Victor on there? I can't remember. But anyway, he plays on Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise, and he's just really good on those movies. But now in this one, I gave him a 3 ghosts because I didn't think that he was all that great in this movie. And he went on to do actually a couple of other zombie movies where he was even worse in those movies. So I'm glad he got into the Mission Impossible franchise because he's doing well there. Stick with that. Leave the zombie and scary movies genre alone, Ving Rhames. but as far as acting goes, well, let me get to it. As far as acting goes, it's 4 ghosts on that one.
Okay.
Because I like those actors. Special effects. The CGI was noticeable in parts. It did not ruin the movie. It was still good, but it was noticeable. What got to me, though, was I like realism. Greg Nicotero is a fantastic special effects and makeup artist. He did not work on this movie, you can tell. The makeup effects were... You could tell that it was a mask at times. Mm-hmm. Some of the makeup just was not up to par as far as my standards go, as far as watching. I couldn't have done as good as they did, but watching it, you could still see that it was just not as realistic as it could have been as far as the makeup effects and so on goes. Now, having said that, there was one scene in particular that I just loved, and it was the woman that died. She was wheeled in a wheelbarrow into the mall. Spoiler warnings, people. If you haven't seen this, which you should have by now, but if you haven't seen it, this woman mall. The woman came into the mall. She's being wheeled in a wheelbarrow. She's very heavy. She's very sick. She's got a bite on her arm. And she comes in, and they put her in one of the beds, where the staging room there in the mall. And she's laying there in bed, and she dies, and she comes back. When she comes back, man, she is just – the makeup on her was fantastic. Because I say this, or this is why I say this, it was actually a man. And you could not tell it. It was a man with a fat suit on, and they had this man made up look just like a woman, an old woman. And it was just really, really good. The CGI and the other makeup effects, it took it down to 3 ghosts on special effects for me. The believability and immersion, getting caught up in it. Of course I got caught up in it. It was scary. The zombies were scary. I love zombies. And they ran after you. It wasn't these slow-moving zombies. These were fast-running
They're like
zombies. Now, yeah. No, they were a full-on sprint. And so you had to be in a full-on sprint. But now, the one thing... It did go by quickly for me. The zombies were scary. They ran after you. And one thing that I liked about it that was believability for me is it wasn't like some of the zombie movies that you see nowadays where they're jumping off of walls and you could see that it's CGI and all that. This was pure running and fighting, and when they got you down, they ripped you apart. So the believability was good for me. It was a four ghosts for me. The movie went by quickly. The only thing that I would have done different is there was a dog in this movie, and the dog, apparently the zombies didn't notice this flesh and blood warm dog running around. They ignored it, basically. And that is not believable to me. So it did bring it down to four ghosts instead of a five for me on that. The plot line. Overall, it was a good concept. It showed the hospital at the beginning. It showed the nurse, which was Sarah Pauley, goes home. She gets with her husband. You know, they have their date night. It was good as far as that goes, but then somewhere along the line, it just kind of veers off into several different directions. They had too many actors on there. They had too many people trying to survive, of course, you know, and it was good in the fact that some of them did die because they needed to go.
Right.
So, but the plot was good. It could have been done better. They go to the mall. These people meet up. They go to the mall. They survive in this mall for quite a while, and then they decide we don't want to die here in a mall, even though we've got food to last us forever, and so on. They decide that they are going to renovate a bus that is in the basement of the mall, and so they renovated it, and they put, iron over the windows so that the zombies couldn't get in. The guy made a place where you could stick a chainsaw through and cut the legs off of the zombies, which I don't see why you'd want to just cut the legs off of the zombies. You want to get them off of the bus, you know, because if you cut legs off of zombies, they can still come after you, you know? So that was kind of... Yeah, if they're crawling. Well, he was hanging onto the side of the bus.
True.
So the plot line was good. It wasn't great, but it was good. So I gave that one three ghosts for the plot line. The ending, it left you hanging. For years now, we've been wondering, are they going to do a Dawn of the Dead Part 2? Of course, now this is a remake of the 1978 Dawn of the Dead. And that was a George Romero was the creator of Dawn of the Dead. This is not George Romero. This is a remake of the 1978, and it was done by someone else. The ending on this movie did leave you hanging. We've been waiting for
years. So what
years
year was
if
this movie?
2004.
It was a remake of the 70s. Okay.
Yeah, 2004. The ending, it appears that everyone dies, but you don't see them die. You just hear screaming and people running and the zombies going after them, and they drop the video recorder, and you don't see what happens. So that's why I say it leaves you hanging. They're on a boat is what they're on, and they go to this island and get they need gas because they can't go on without gas in the engine. So anyway, it could have been done better. I thought it was kind of cheesy. I wish they would have done it better. It did tug at my heartstrings when Jake Weber's character got bit saving Sarah Pauley's character, and he opted not to get onto the boat with them because he knew he was going to die and he didn't want to hurt anybody, and so they left him behind, gave him a gun, and he shoots and blows his head off. The reason being is because that's the only way you can kill a zombie is to destroy the brain. So that was the only thing that tugged at my heartstrings at this movie. Otherwise, it was a very scary movie. The scariness factor, the ending got three ghosts. the scariness factor, it was scary. It was jumpy. There were jumpy moments. Like, for example, the zombie in the basement of the mall, when they're down there and they're looking around to see what they can find, and this zombie has his legs cut off, speaking of which. I don't know how he got up there, though, but he gets up. He's on these. There's these pipes that run overhead. Yeah. There's these pipes running overhead, like in a basement. And the zombie, you see them all talking. They're the four characters that are down there in the basement. And the zombie comes along, and he's moving along by his hands, and he sees this one guy, and he jumps down on him and bites him. You know, so, I mean, it was kind of jumpy in the fact that it just came out of nowhere. There was a time when they were in the sewers underneath the street because they were trying to rescue someone. And the zombies get after them. They are falling into the sewers. And I thought of you when I was watching this, Lisa, because there's a doctor that falls into the sewers after them as a zombie.
Great.
And that was fun. That was fun to watch because you're just kind of drawing up like, run faster, get away from them. You know? There was the woman in the wheelbarrow that we talked about already. And then at the very beginning of the movie, there was when Sarah Pauley goes home to her husband, and they had their date night, and the next morning they wake up, and the reason that they woke up is this little girl comes into their house. She has a key, apparently. But anyway, she comes into their house, and they know her. She opens their bedroom door. She just pushes it open. And she's just standing there, and her lips are ripped off. You can see her teeth and her gums, and there's blood everywhere, and she's just staring at them. The husband, naturally, he's a nurse also. He gets up, and he goes over to the little girl and is like, what happened? What's wrong with you? And he gets down on all knees, on his knees, and he's got her by the arms, and he's looking at her. Well, of course, she bites him, takes a big plug out of him, gets his jugular, and blood starts just spurting everywhere. If you like blood, this is the movie to go for.
Yeah, I wouldn't have went near that.
And yeah, exactly. Well, it started out. That's how it started out. It was really, really good. I gave the scariness factor 3 ghosts. Because there were times where it was kind of cheesy, but there were good parts in it. My overall ghost factor is 3.1 ghosts for this movie, after you add everything together and do your math. I will say this. I am a big Disturbed music fan. I love Disturbed. And they sing Down with the Sickness in this movie, and it is awesome. I love that part of it. So, but that didn't get any ghosties. That one just got, I'm just saying, I like that song. I also love the Sound of Silence that they do, but that doesn't have anything to do with this. But anyway, so do you have one that you want to do?
Sure.
Or are you
I'll
getting
pop on
a drink?
Another one or. Oh, I'm not.
Are you getting a drink?
I'm just. No, actually, I'm just sitting here. Sure, I can go for another one, and then if you want to hit the next one. I did.
Okay, I hope I didn't bore you too much with that, but I love Dawn of the Dead. That's a great movie.
No, I'm because there's going to be people that love zombies. I'm not a big zombie fan, but like I said, I love those two that we had mentioned. So mm-hmm. every now and then I'll watch one, and there's going to be tons of people that love zombies. And it goes along with horror, scary. I mean, we're doing movie reviews,
mm-hmm.
so it's all relevant.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I did Annabelle Comes Home, also a 2019 movie, but also based in the 70s, I believe it was. Let me see where that's. I know I've got it written somewhere over my hot mess of writing. So I think it's kind of easier to start with some of the cast and the plot first, since it's kind of the beginning there. For cast-wise,
right.
For Lorraine Warren, they had Vera Farmiga. I'm probably butchering like we always do, F-A-R-M-I-G-A. And she looks just like a younger Lorraine. So the casting choices were just amazing. Patrick Wilson played Ed Warren, and there was a Samara Lee that played Annabelle when she came to life and was ringing the doorbell creepy, you know, ding, ding. And the girls were like, who's at the door?
You got to have that. You got to.
Yes. Yeah. So those were like the three main, you know, besides the girls. I didn't list the names of the three young girls, which or who played Judy. So Judy is the daughter of Ed and Lorraine, and she's the main character during this whole movie. It's her and her two friends. And the storyline was good. It's basically Judy and her two friends, and they're at the Warren's house where the museum is. And the one friend, Daniela, is nosy as heck. And she sneaks into the museum and finds the keys in the office first, and then sneaks in, unlocks the case of, well, after touching like everything in the museum, unlocks the case of the doll. And then she gets, some alarm goes off, like a smoke detector, they were cooking something. And so she gets scared, runs out, and doesn't lock the case. Well, of course, Annabella escapes. And then just wreaks havoc throughout the whole movie. And it kind of starts out initially like the two girls are a little older, almost like they're babysitting her. And it's a little confusing because this all occurs over like a 24-hour period and there's no parents around. So I'm like, uh-huh. And then they're talking about school and how Judy's picked on and doesn't really fit in because of what her parents do. And she's got this birthday party coming up and she thinks nobody's going to come. And these are her only two semi-friends. So I'm kind of like, okay, is this a weekend that this is occurring on? Where are the parents? Like, but then they're talking about school. I'm confused on that part and why they're mm-hmm. not in school and where the parents are. And how, so that part kind of threw me. But other than that, the story, like the plot and everything, the storyline was good. Time period was set up good for that time period. So going to, let's start with, acting. I gave it 4 stars. Everybody did pretty good on the acting. It wasn't cheesy. I mean, it was decent. I didn't give it 5 stars or 5 ghosts, but 4 ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Special effects, there was tons of flashing lights and sounds and really too many things to mention. I think the biggest thing was there was this young boy that was just so in love with one of the girls, and he comes over and he's playing this guitar outside the window, mm-hmm. and they're out, you know, looking out the window and, you know, in awe and stuff. And then this like wolf like appears out of nowhere and it starts chasing him, and he ends up in the chicken coop and he's shaking. And, you know, so there was some really good special effects, especially with that wolf thing. It's basically like a demon or Annabella, you know, like turned into, I don't know how to say it, making herself appear as a wolf. They it's weird because they mentioned demon a few times in there. But basically they say that the gist of the movie is that she possesses Daniela throughout the movie. Towards the end is basically what it is, once she gets turned loose. Then Daniela is kind of going crazy around the house, and the believability and immersion into the storyline, it was pretty believable throughout. The ending was pretty decent. I gave both plot and ending 4 ghosts. At the ending, it basically, Judy finds the doll and puts it back into the case. And then she sticks a cross onto, and they call it a demon, but because she's possessed, but is she possessed by Annabella or possessed by a demon? It's kind of confusing there.
Mm-hmm.
But they say demon, and then it burns him, and then all the activity is gone. So that's how it ends.
Is Annabelle a demon? I mean, you know,
it possesses the doll, right? Right. So,
mm-hmm.
could be. I mean, I guess that would make sense. And then, scariness factor, there's there's quite a few of them. Like, there's, you know, Annabelle ringing the doorbell several times, and that's creepy enough in itself because the girls are doing things and they keep hearing the doorbell ring, and then nobody's there, and then they, and then there's, she's there one at a time, and then she's like, hey, you know, can you come and play, or I want to play, or something like that. And they're like, I'm sorry, I think you got the wrong house. And they close the door on her, you know. And so it was just, it was creepy. And then, like, there's one thing where they're under the table, and you can see the tablecloth lifting. Like, it'll lift on this side, and then all four, you know, sides are lifting up, and you're just waiting for what's going to happen next. You know, is somebody going to reach under, or what's going to happen? So there's some good scary moments. And then, like, when they're in the museum, like, there's an antique phone in the museum, and that starts ringing just by itself, and obviously it's not, you know, connected to anything. And something of note is they did, when they were did scenes in the museum, they explored the different items that were kept in the museum and why, like, what the history was behind them. As the girls going through it and through a different couple scenes. So it really piques your interest and makes you want to visit, because it's like, oh, okay, there's this haunted gown, wedding gown, and the haunted this and haunted that and haunted, you know, piano and whatever. So, I mean, it just, it, they did good. I mean, that was kind of probably a smart choice, because it draws interest to their museum if they're wanting more people to come visit. And then, let's see what else I've got listed here. And then the only other thing was, and then at the very end, Miss Warren comes home. Everything's resolved by the time she gets there. She's walking in at the end. And I don't remember if Ed was with her. And then I guess because Daniela is kind of like a skeptic, and that's why she was sneaking down into the museum in the first place. So then Miss Warren sits down and has a heart-to-heart with her and says, you know, the passing of your dad isn't your fault. He had drowned. And I guess she always thought it was her fault. And so it had, like, this little touching moment at the end. You know, so you get this scary, creepy movie and then this little warm heart-to-heart at the end. So, yeah, so acting, 4 ghosts, special effects, 5 believability, 4 plot, 4 and ending, 4. And actually, I didn't even mark scary. Scary, I'd have to say, was probably 3. Now, let me recap.
And again, this is a paranormal investigator that is rating this. So, you know.
it could be very scary
for others, you know.
Yes.
Not
yes.
that we're so
take,
immune
so,
to
yeah,
being
take that
scared.
Into account.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think SARS got me screaming once over the past, several years.
In a confessional,
but only
nonetheless.
What's that?
That was funny.
So, overall, that
I was just listening.
Four out of 6 ghosts. So I think that was my highest rating yet, because 1 got 0 and 1 got 3. So,
yeah.
Annabelle Comes Home in 19. That was pretty good there. You got something for us?
I
good
do.
And juicy?
Yes, very juicy, actually.
Juicy with blood and gut?
Oh, yeah. This one is not really a scary movie in the fact of ghosts or anything like that, but it's Crawl. It's a 2019 movie, and it's about this hurricane that comes through Florida, and it stirs up the alligators. And so here they come into this little community. So let's get into this.
I've not heard of this, but now I want to watch it.
It's pretty
good. And I haven't
good.
Even heard
I enjoyed
yet.
It. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The acting, I gave it 4 ghosts. Let's see here. Kaya Scordellario, something like that. Anyway, she was on The Maze Runner. I don't know if you saw those movies or not, but she played Teresa in The Maze Runner. And then there was Barry Pepper, who was in True Grit. And he was also in Saving Private Ryan. He was the sniper in Saving Private Ryan that was just phenomenal. But anyway, both of these are just great. I gave them both 5 ghosts because they were really good and they were believable. They made it believable. The other actors in the movie, which I did not list, brought it down to 4 ghosts. So, you know, because they had very small bit parts. The majority of the movie is Kaya and Barry as a father-daughter team trying to escape these alligators. Let's go into special effects. The CGI was noticeable at times. There were times, though, you couldn't tell because it was just really good. The gators were awesome. There was lots of blood. There was lots of sneak attacks and people being drug under the water. There was lots of screaming, and it was just really good. And I'm not talking about them screaming. I jumped a few times, and I don't jump very easy. You can ask Lisa when we're doing our paranormal thing. You know, if something happens, I usually don't jump. You know, I'm looking and saying, okay, well, let's go take care of it. So I gave the special effects. The special effects, I gave it 4 ghosts on that. Just because the CGI was noticeable, that brought it down to 4 for me. Otherwise, it would have been a 5. The believability and immersion into the storyline. I was hooked from the get-go with this movie because, number one, alligator scare the living crap out of me. I like to look at them from a distance, but they are dinosaurs and they will eat you. They are eating, pooping, and sleeping machines. That's all they're good for, you know, that and a good pair of boots. The dad and daughter scenario worked really well. They worked well together. They complemented each other. So the believability and immersion in this storyline was good. It went by quickly. It's only an hour and a half movie, I think an hour and 27 minutes. But it just went by quickly because of you just went from scene to scene to scene. So the believability got a 4 ghosties from me. The plot line, the storyline was good. However, there were too many gators in one area. The gators are territorial. They will not, when you've got some big gators in an area like these were, I mean, these were really huge gators. When you've got some big gators in an area, they're territorial. They will fight each other. They're not like crocodiles that just hang out with each other all the time and wait for the wildebeest to come along and then drag it down together. These gators, there were just too many of them in one area. So that brought the plot line down for me, but the storyline was good. I really enjoyed the story. The girl is a swimmer. She's in college now. Her father was her coach for a long time when she was in high school and even when she was younger. And he always told her, "What are you?" And she said, "I'm an apex predator." And he was like, "Yes, that's right. You keep going. You're an apex predator. You never stop." That was the theme of this whole movie. You never stop fighting. You keep fighting. And I mean, there was bones broken and compound fractures. It was wonderful. Heads getting ripped off. Arms and everything getting ripped off. Wonderful. Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was. I like those kind of movies. I just really do. So the plot line was good. I gave it 3 ghosts. The ending was a good ending. It could have been better, but it was a good ending. They didn't show what happened after the rescue, and they did get rescued. They ended up having to go all the way up onto the roof of this house, an old house. They got up there, got the dog up there. That was number one. The dog survived. I love dogs. So it was good, but it could have been better. They didn't show what happened after the rescue. They just showed them being rescued, and then it was over with. So the ending got a 3 ghosties for me. Scariness factor. It was jumpy in parts. It was predictable in parts. But it was still a good, scary, bloody, jumpy movie. So I gave that 3 ghosts. Overall, this movie got a 3.7 ghost factor. So there you go. Anything you want to know about it?
No. I mean, you hit on it.
Okay.
I was just calculating my next one, doing the tally, since I didn't know we had to tally them up. I should have known. That only makes sense.
Well, yeah. But, you know, you're busy, and I know how that is, too.
So, my absolute favorite out of all the movies that I've seen recently, it was an 18 Winchester. I'm obsessed with the house, and I still haven't seen Winchester, the house. Did you end up seeing the movie?
I have not seen
Winchester.
That movie yet, and I do want to see it. One of these
you'll
days, I'm going to see that movie.
Yeah. So,
well, I love ghosts.
And I didn't get time to put a lot on this particular movie, but I did rate it, and I did have a few notes. So it's basically a firearm terrorist, Sarah Winchester, who believes she's haunted by the souls of the people who were killed by the Winchester rifle. And obviously a lot of people in the paranormal know that she built the house with, like, stairwells that go nowhere and, you know, just all these odd things to the house, like odd features to it and doors that go nowhere and all that stuff. So acting, I gave it 5 ghosts. Special effects, 5 ghosts. And plot, 5 ghosts. Ending, 5 ghosts.
Yeah.
Believability and immersion, 5. Scary factor is the only thing I did a 3. It could have maybe been a 4, but probably more of a 3.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't super scary, but it was really, really good. It was really well laid out, believable. Helen Mirren, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, Miren, was the star
role. Oh, I love her. She's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, she played Sarah Winchester, and then Jason Clark played Dr. Eric Price, which was another major role. And then costume designer was Wendy Cork, and she did great. And the dress was just exceptional for the time period. And then you combine that with the amazing home, and it was just phenomenal. I couldn't say more about that movie. So tallying that up, it's a 4.5 on the ghost factor for me.
Okay. Cool.
And then I just had a couple others, but other than that, did you have any others?
I do. I have 2 more, but I know we don't have time to go through but
we've got 6 minutes if you want to toss in the last one.
Oh, well,
did you want to talk about the next show? Okay.
Well, my third one was Beyond Skyline. It's a 2017 rated R movie. If you're having a boring night and you need to be able to go to sleep, you can watch this movie. It's not that great. I gave it a 3.0 overall. The acting was a 2.5. It had holes in the plot line. It was predictable at best. It was just not a very good movie. Believability in the storyline, not very. I gave it a 2 ghosts on that one. I know I'm skipping around on this one, but it's just not much to talk about. It's just, you know, it reminded me of an 80s, and there's some good 80s movies, but it reminded me of an 80s movie that just had a lot of holes and a lot of action and not much believability in between. My fourth one is Zombieland. Zombieland Part 2 is I think it came out already, but Zombieland 2009 is rated R. It's got some phenomenal actors in it. Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, Woody Harrelson, and Abigail Breslin. All of them got a five ghosts for me. The acting was a five. It was just, I love these guys, and they have awesome chemistry together. The special effects were good. It wasn't perfect, but it was really good. Believability. Besides the fact of them being zombies, you just became immersed into, I became immersed into this movie and into the actors and what was going on. The plot, believability got four. The plot got two ghosties because I didn't think, you know, I just, it started off great, but then you get to the end of it and they all go to Pacific Playland Park, this amusement park, and they have to battle the zombies there. And it's just, I don't know, it just kind of petered out at the end for me, but I'm glad that the ending, I'm glad that they left together. They left it open for this part two that came out. So I'm hoping, I have not seen this movie, so I'm hoping that the part two is really good. And I hope that they fill in those plot holes a little bit better. The ending got three ghosts for me. The scariness factor, hey, it's zombies and they run after you, I gave it a four ghosts. It was funny scary. It was comedic. Bill Murray is in this movie also. It's just, awesome. It's a good movie. Overall, it got a four. That was the best one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like Emma. I watched her in a movie when she was much younger. And with our last 3 minutes, the only two that I'll toss out there that without detail is The Nun in 2018. I gave it five ghosts for both acting and special effects, three ghosts for believability and plot, two for ending and scariness factor. But overall, it was a very, very good movie. The ending was just a little disappointing. But it was great. And then The Mist, which is an old one. And I didn't have time to
like
the year on that. Yeah, I gave it overall four ghosts. It might even be four and a half. Especially the ending. I like the ending, the plot. There was some humor in there. So those of you that have not seen The Mist, I think it's spelled M-Y-S-T, I believe. You might look
no,
up that.
No, it's M-I-S-T.
Is it M-I? Okay. So
yeah.
Look that up, M-I-S-T.
Yeah.
That's a good one to check out. It's an older one, but definitely worth watching all the way to the end.
That's a Stephen King movie.
Is it? Okay.
Yes,
it's been
a
while since I've seen it. I've watched it twice, but it's been many years because it's an older movie. But it's still good. Mm-hmm. It's still very good. And that's it. So we're down to our last minute and a half. So we have one more show. And I mentioned at the beginning to everyone, the listeners, that it'll be probably Monday the 11th. And depending on the guests that we get, we may adjust that to Tuesday or Wednesday. And that the time will be bumped back a little bit, at least to 7 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. But that we will keep everybody posted and get that that posted as soon as we know what we're going to do for the last episode. And that will be our season finale, and then we'll be on somewhere around March of next year for season three.
Awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to miss doing this because I enjoy it, doing it with you and Aaron so much. And so, you know, I got a question for you, though.
You got 50
did you
seconds
have any
on
other
air.
Movies? Did you have any
no,
other movies?
No, that was it. Nope.
Okay.
I get them all.
All right. I'm a Stephen King fan. I like, I was going to do Misery. I like Misery and, you know, with Kathy Bates.
Okay.
Yeah, Salem's Lot with David Soule, the original back in 1980. I mean, I like a bunch of his movies.
I know. We could even do next season, do a movie review part two.
Well, let's do that.
Because there's so many to go over. I mean, why not?
There's
so many. I love doing a little ghost thing. That's awesome. And the review system we had was great. I think you can take away good with that. And, I think we should do that again next season. Toss one in.
Hey, you know what?
All right.
Guys, if you're listening to this and you want to hear it, again, if you want us to do this again, let us know. Comment on it. I'm sure you're going to be posting this on our Facebook page too. Comment on there. Let us know if you like it, if you want us to do more of it. so that we kind of know, you know, what you want to hear as our listeners.
Yes. And with that, we are out of time. We are all red. So everyone have a
all
good
right.
night, and we'll see you next week. And love you, Star. And that'll be our last
Alrighty.
Show for the season. All right.
I know.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.